Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneur Show. My name is Josh. I'm a fellow entrepreneur, and I get the pleasure of talking with other entrepreneurs to hear their story, to give hope, inspiration, education to the audience, and to let you guys know the incredible things that are happening here in Orlando. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce one of my friends. His name is Thomas Waterman. He's the Chief Purpose Pioneer. Now, this is such a unique title. He's the Chief Purpose Pioneer for a company called Purpose Pioneers here in Orlando, Florida. So, Thomas, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited. I'm excited to talk about the entrepreneurial spirit. That's something I'm super hot on right now. So, thank you for welcoming me into this meaningful conversation.
Yeah, this is great. Now, when we were talking, I was like, what's your title? I was like, are you a founder? Are you CEO? And you're like, well, I'm a co-founder, co-CEO, but we really like this title better, Chief Purpose Pioneer. And I was like, well, I've never heard that before. So why don't we just kind of start there? What the heck is a Chief Purpose Pioneer?
Well, what I love about what I believe is one of the keys to not only marketing, but also how to run an organization internally is to name people, is to be intentional with our words. And it's just saying chief executive officer, that doesn't really direct someone in a direction. It doesn't really inspire someone. So I really believe in companies taking ownership of their words. So for us, a chief purpose pioneer is someone who embodies the values of our organization and furthers the purpose of the organization. And for other companies looking to take on a chief purpose pioneer instead of a CEO, it's someone who really champions the mission and makes or inspires the employees to become more than just a team, to become a community of people doing what they love with people who believe what they believe to create a positive impact on the world. So it's all around that stuff.
Well, I like it. I like it. So I guess that could unfold into, you know, who is Thomas and what is Purpose Pioneers?
Well, if you ask me who is Thomas, I would say I am a outgrowth of the energy of the universe. That's what I would say. I'm a collective of the stardust of the things around us. I'm fortunate to exist in this human form. I'm really excited about that because while I do love contemplating the cosmos and spirit, I love also the beauty and richness of the human experience. Experiencing emotion, experiencing intellectual thought, experiencing the pain, the triumph, creating progress, feeling the power of human connection. So I'm an entity that enjoys this ride. That's what I would say. Yeah.
it's so interesting. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm sitting across, you know, Thomas, looking at him on a computer screen, and you're a young person, right? We're both pretty young, but you're like, you have this, like this energy, but this also like this like passion of life. Now, how have you always been like this? Is this something that you've kind of moved into? Talk to us about that.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. And I know the way I articulate and my beliefs aren't the status quo. And I think that is useful for me because I get to take full ownership of myself and I get to really choose my own direction and I get to explore new ideas with others. And I would encourage everyone to do the same. We don't have to conform to be a part of a community. I believe communities just need common purpose and values, and then we can express ourselves individually, and really that's where a community begins to thrive. But talking about my past, it's interesting because when I was little, I was quiet and hid behind my mom's leg when people came to say hi. And I very much just didn't say anything, and I was more of an observant state of being until one night at like cosmic bowling or galactic bowling. Some people call it different things depending on where they grew up. I just, a James Brown song came on and I just started dancing like crazy and spinning around and doing these insane dance moves. And ever since then, I've become an expressive. I've become someone who is more outgoing, as they say. So it's an interesting dichotomy I get to experience of being observant, being a deep thinker, contemplating the truths of the universe, and observing them in form while also being present and alive and action oriented. So I have this great dichotomy of, I call spirit and form, where I get to do the deep stuff and I also get to live the beautiful present human experience.
So it was actually music, more specifically James Brown, who helped who helped kind of like bring you to like your ability to step out into who you are and like create an awakening for Thomas.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was about 5.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You remember it like it was yesterday, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll never forget it.
Okay. So, so growing up, you know, from being extremely, hidden, something awakened in you and you kind of stepped out and that kind of led on down a path of this energy, would you say, or this thought?
Like, well, I really believe everything is on a frequency of sorts, and I'm not getting like spiritual or any of that. Like, it's just like science. I mean, we're all giving off, emitting some type of energy. That's what life is. I mean, our existence is giving off heat, which is an energy, right? So like we're all operating at different frequencies, and I've taken on the idea, and it's my current truth. All of this is just my current truth. I've taken on the idea that I can choose what energy level I live at. So throughout my life, I've begun to become more in command of that. I remember I was in Publix the other day getting my pub sub, and of course standard. And I was showing up in a very low frequency, and I was merely interacting with the people around me. And it wasn't a very amazing experience. It wasn't invigorating. It didn't feel special. It didn't have that energy I'm used to. And I realized, I was like, wow, I'm choosing to operate this way. So then I immediately flipped and got high frequency, enthusiastic. I began staring into people's eyes and giving them having meaningful conversations, and everything changed. They changed. So I love the Wayne Dyer quote. It's when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I really believe that to be true. So I think that awakening for me with James Brown showed me that the way I operate in the world changes the way the world operates.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this is because, you know, like we show up for our pub subs, you know, and it's a transaction,
standard,
right? It's a transaction. We go, we get food, we eat it, and then we go on with our day. But like you chose to take even that experience and to really bring purpose to what you were doing, even in that, buying your pub sub, which I love that. I love
Correct.
Pub subs. A little shout out to pub subs, you know, out there.
We
love you guys.
they do online ordering now. It's fantastic. But yes, continue.
Are you sponsored by Publix, by the way?
I need to be.
Yeah. All right. So talk to us about, you know, maybe some of the jobs that you've had or some of the things that helped you develop into starting a company called, you know, Purpose Pioneers. How did that, what was the evolution of Thomas there?
I think it's been, well, the evolution was always a need for meaning. I believe what drives our lives forward is having a sense of meaning, pursuing some kind of value. So I believe I've always been looking or creating meaning in my life. So that manifested in high school, being the captain of my high school soccer team. I wanted to make my experience on the team meaningful. I wanted to impact my teammates. I wanted to create a higher belief in everyone. So I was able to do that on my soccer team. Then it manifested in my fraternity in college. I was vice president of my fraternity when we were in big time trouble and got us from a 4-year suspension down to a 1-year suspension because we were proactive, because we showed up, we took ownership, we challenged the status quo, and we created a new university policy that allowed us to go above and beyond and show that we need to get back earlier. So this whole manifestation is like creating meaning in everything I do and challenging the status quo to change the way the world works by how I show up. So I was also interfraternity council vice president, which is like the governing body of all the fraternities. And I was able to really shift, I believe, the mindset of the masculine in Greek life at UCF. I did whatever I could to show men that they can be strong and directional and create structure, and as well as get in touch with their feminine divine as well, and be compassionate and think about others and all of that. So I love the beautiful both and of the masculine and feminine. I'm a big believer in that. Like, I live in my masculine Mufasa style, but I'm in touch with my divine feminine as well. And I believe women, vice versa, are better off. So I was able to have that effect in Greek life at UCF, which is great, because I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I just want to hit into this, Josh, is I talk a lot about living life with purpose as the driver and values as the boundaries, right? If we can just, every decision we make is furthering a purpose and aligning with values, then we live a much more meaningful life, more fulfilled life, more successful life. We do what we want to do, and we can be who we want to be. And what I'm realizing is the purpose, the driver, the force, the action is more of the masculine, and then the boundaries, the state of being, the values, that's more of the feminine. So what I'm finding is the most useful life is one where we balance both. And it's been really exciting to take my journey of finding meaning and fulfillment in my life and creating a more sustainable world for others. It's turned into this beautiful both and of the masculine and the divine feminine, and creating new hierarchies in the world that honor both.
See that? I mean, this is very, you're very unique. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that. You know,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful compliment. It's I talk with a lot of entrepreneurs. I talk with a lot of business leaders out there. You're very unique. Yes, but I love this.
Received.
Yeah. So this is pretty interesting. So, you know, in sports, you were in leadership, in school, in your fraternity, you grew to leadership. And he even said, did you drop a Lion King quote or like a Mufasa style?
Always. Oh yeah. He's a powerful leader that I believe more people would be served by emulating, for sure.
No kidding. No, I like this. Talk to us about some of the jobs you've had.
Love to. So right out of college, I got hired as a technical recruiter, like base salary, just not the ideal job. It's a work your butt off and try to survive. And I went above and beyond in my job. And I knew the owner, he was a fraternity brother. And I went and started rewriting the purpose and the values of the organization just intuitively. This is before it was in my awareness. I was telling him, I was like, we are more than a recruiting agency. Like, we are transforming the lives of people. We are helping, giving them jobs where they can be themselves, find more happiness, and make more money and be more sustainable. This is transformative. So I was naturally, organically doing this in every step of my life, as I've seen. And I got, he one day he came up to me, or he brought me in his office, and he said, Thomas, you're the spirit of this company. And he made me the internal hiring director. So I began doing all the hiring. I was 24, 6 months out of college. And then I got on Fox 13 as a career expert, 6 months out of college, giving advice about how to ask your boss for more flexibility in the workplace, which was an amazing experience. And that aligns with my theory on aligned fear versus misaligned fear, which we can touch on later. And I found myself rising up because I kept changing the way I looked at things, and then those things would change. And I kept believing that there was more meaning and there was something deeper and more profound to everything around me. And that's how I live my life. I look around and everything is much more profound than we realize. Over millions of years of evolutionary history, and like, there's a reason all this exists and why all that's true and why it works. And there's a reason why we pursue what we pursue. But anyways, I got recruited to another recruiting company. They were like taking me out to dinner and all this stuff. And I became a salesman. I was working the Disney account. I was working the Hard Rock, Darden, all of those. And I thought, because I wasn't quite fulfilled, there was still emptiness because there wasn't full alignment in my current job. So when I went to the next job, I was like, you know, this is my change. It's going to make everything great. If I just change, right? The whole grass is greener thing. I would say like find your more ideal pasture. Like don't just go to another field of grass. But I went 3 months. I did pretty well, but I still found myself sitting in my shower, not wanting to get up. And because if I knew I had to stand up in my shower, I had to dry off, and then I'd dry off, I had to put my clothes on, then I'd have to get in the car, then I'd have to go to work. And I was unfulfilled. The way the system was set up, the structure of the organization, the incentives in place, they weren't fulfilling me. The purpose of the organization wasn't quite in line with my ideal, which is okay. Like, that's all right. More power to them. Cheers to them. But I am in a world where I can create my own community, where I can add value to the world and make money doing it, right? So it's all okay. If I'm not aligned, it doesn't mean I need to suck it up. It means I need to go find something where I can be aligned and create value in the world. So I did that for 3 months. And finally, one day, this is actually the same week I quit drinking, because I was working 5 days a week and then probably, I would say, abusing alcohol on the weekends, where I was drink to go out with all my friends to forget about the fact that I hated my job. And I remember it was a sick cycle, and I kept being like, this isn't me. I'm not aligned. I'm not fulfilled. I'm empty. What's going on here? But I have the money and I have the suits, and I'm like taking my parents out to dinner, right? And it was, I thought I had it, but, and I'm using quotations, but I really didn't. And it was cool because I was able to see what that looked like and realize it wasn't what I wanted. And that, I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that moment, Josh. So I decided I was going to stop drinking and try it out and see if I could get some clarity in my life. So I stopped drinking, and 5 days later, I quit my job. I was like, I'm so done. I'm never doing this again. 2 days later, I moved into Canvas, which is now Starter Studio, and began journaling to figure out what drives me, who I am, what type of impact on the world I want to create, what's my gift, how do I want to serve others, who do I want to work with. And for about 30 days, I just contemplated my own life. And I believe that's the key for everyone to best serve themselves and others, is to really get clear on their purpose, their values, who they are, what type of impact they want to create before they go out and go pursue things. But while with that being said, the pursuit, the action also reveals truth. So I would also say, don't get caught up in the contemplation and all of that, because in action, it reveals what we love, what we don't, who we want to serve, who we don't, what type of impact we actually enjoy, what type of impact we don't. So it's a beautiful both and of contemplation and reflection and action. So I did that for about 30 days, started my company called Backstory, which was a crowdfunding platform for nonprofits where they brought their stories to life, and then we would inspire and empower the community to fund the campaigns to create the better endings to the stories. And then at the end, we'd film an impact video and show everyone the happier ending they helped create. So we did that. It was incredible. And I got paid to do it. But once again, I realized I had a higher truth. And that's the thing. Through my actions, I realized I had a much higher truth, which was, I want to create a system that creates positive abundance for everyone, that aligns everyone to serve each other and serve themselves and do things they love with people who they love. And I believe that's what business is. I believe that's what capitalism truly is, at its core, is transforming the lives of others, serving their needs, and doing it by doing what I love with people who believe what I believe, right? A business. I believe a business can be the ultimate community. It is the ultimate community. What other community exists to bring our gifts to life, to work together to help others? Business is transformative. Business is abundance. Business is what's going to create abundance for everyone. It's just about doing it, becoming very aware of that, becoming very aware of our intention, becoming very aware of how we want to treat people, making sure everyone's aligned, making sure we're not keeping people on that aren't, allowing them to go find their ideal community and tribe where they can go serve the world in the way they want to. And the beauty of it is, we're in a world, a free world, where we can join any organization we want. And if we don't like any of those, we can create our own. And then if we don't want to do that either, we can get online, where we have access to a democratized global marketplace that's hyper connected, where we can, using no upfront capital, create a business and begin delivering value to people online immediately and make money today. So I believe we're in the most exciting time to be alive. And that is why I created Purpose Pioneers, was to help direct people to this path.
Wow. Man. All right. So this is pretty exciting. I hear a lot of purpose, you know, like in what you're doing. Obviously everything you do is about purpose.
Yes.
But it sounded like you were going through a really, you know, rough time. You were making money, you were taking your family out to dinner, and you were kind of like living the life that we chase in this so-called American dream, right? Where you're making money, got the suits, got, you know, could buy this, but you felt miserable. You know, and you were chasing kind of grass is greener in these different areas. And, and you were not drowning. You were trying to numb yourself with alcohol on the weekends and such like that. But, you gave up drinking and for 30 days, you just contemplated, you just quit your job. You're like, I'm done. And you moved into Canvas and now Starter Studio, shout out to them. But you, for 30 days, you just journaled, thought, and like, did people think you were absolutely nuts? Like,
yeah, they did. It was, So I was sitting in Canvas, now Starter Studio, and just recklessly pursuing my own fulfillment and my own impact on the world. And people did until they didn't, right? And I think that's the thing is, people are so fearful, and myself included in the past, of making people feel uncomfortable or weird or fear of being judged, that they never fully realize their true potential or their true self, and they never express themselves authentically. And the thing is, when I lean into authenticity, when I create what I want to create, express what I want to express, all of a sudden people respect that. All of a sudden people hear that idea and they go, I've never thought about that before. Maybe that is what we need to do. Maybe that is what's cool. And the thing is, like, the leaders who boldly express themselves and create what they want to create and do what they want to do are the ones who inspire others to do the same and inspire others to follow their movement. So there's a bit of a vacuum right now with that. And I think that's one of the biggest opportunities for people in business, is stop advertising and start talking about the movement you're creating and how you want people to be a part of it and how you need them to be a part of it and how it matters in their lives and what type of impact they'll create in the world.
Wow. Yeah. I'm shocked by your story. I'm shocked by someone. I'm shocked by you coming to these realizations, you know, so early on in your life. And I mean that as an incredible compliment. Like, I'm really shocked the way you view people, business, life, and purpose. So you guys started, you started Purpose Pioneers to do just what? What was the pain point that you're trying to solve in this world through Purpose Pioneers?
I think it's helping people do business and life well. And I've never said it like that until just now, because it's twofold. We're helping people find meaning and fulfillment in their lives, and we're helping them serve others in the same way. Because that's what business is. It's a vehicle of transforming someone else and solving a need. And through doing that, I'm serving myself as well. It's a beautiful balance. So we empower forward-thinking leaders to systematize purpose into their business and leadership so they can scale their, not just their profit, but also their impact. And when we can focus on scaling our impact in business, then inherently we scale our profit as well. And it's that switch I think I'm trying to help people understand and then use to thrive, is the concept of, what are we focused on? Our product and how many people we can get to buy it, or our customer and how many of them we can transform. And when we focus on transforming the customer and really impacting their life, like tangibly and intangibly, only then can we create powerful relationships. Only then can we create a powerful brand. Only then can we create a culture of the organization where people really believe in what they're doing and enjoy it. That's the key. That's the essence, is the connection with the customer and tying it to purpose. So that's what we help people do. I mean, we have two online programs that do just that for solopreneurs and small business leaders.
Now, when you're talking with business leaders out there and you're talking about, you know, tying impact and purpose to their customers, and they're like, man, I sell widgets and gadgets, and this all sounds a little fluffy to me. Like, do you ever get that kind of
reaction
or response?
I've gotten every reaction and response.
I bet. Let's hear it.
My answer, I'll give two answers to this, and there are probably five or six, but I'll focus on one. So what I would say is, as markets mature and there's more and more competition, there's this idea that a market gets commoditized. Think about water bottles. Oh, water bottles are now commoditized. There's 30 water bottles in every 7-Eleven. It's just now a matter of competing on price, right? That's what it is, a commoditized market. So I am challenging that perceived truth. And I'm saying commodities don't exist unless everyone in the market agrees to just sit back and not challenge the status quo, right? Commodities only exist when people aren't willing to do something new, something more meaningful, take something to a deeper level. So let's think about water bottles. I'll just use that example. Think about the first water bottle that came out. It didn't matter really how much it cost to a certain extent. There was no competing on cost. Yes, it had to be relatively well-priced. It didn't really matter about the taste of it, the functionality. It's water, right? So anyone would buy it. Of course, it's water. It's a bottled water that's never been done. So the functionality of it is enough for it to win in the marketplace. And then when there's a few more competitors, right? There's three or four water bottle companies. All of a sudden, now I need to be wary of my price. I can't price anything. Because now there's competitors. Now all of a sudden an equilibrium is created because we're competing. And that's what capitalism does, what business does. And now let's say there's 10 to 20 competitors. I can no longer compete on price and functionality, right? Because water tastes like water and it costs, all these companies are pricing it right around the same. There's only so low you can go. And they're all conveniently placed right in front of my face, right? So there becomes a place where, how are you going to compete? And that's what I always ask people. I go, how are you going to compete? Like, we're helping a cleaning service. How are you going to compete with all these other cleaning services that are pricing things super low to try to get business on the front end, that are going just hustling and hustling and hustling on the internet, and they're all the same? How are you going to compete? So with the cleaning service we're working with, we helped her realize she competes on kindness and empathy, and empowering people to do and become what they thought they never could, right? So every time she talks to anyone, she doesn't say we're the lowest price. She doesn't say we're the best cleaning service. She doesn't say we're the most convenient. She says none of those things, because that's what everyone else is saying, right? She says, we empower you to become more than you've ever been able to do. We take that service, that cleaning, off your plate. You don't even have to worry about it. We got you. We're empathetic. We're listening to you. We know your story. And we're going to make sure you can have the freedom to do whatever it is you've ever wanted to do. And every single time she says that, they freak out, they write reviews, they recommend her, they buy and buy and buy, and they go, wow, I didn't have this in my budget, and I'm going to make it in my budget. Because that's what people want. In matured markets, it's no longer about the functionality, the price, the convenience. All of that is taken care of. It's now, people are now needing a better reason to make a decision. That's what I always say. Give them a reason to make a decision, because I stare at 10 items sometimes, and I'm like, please, one brand, make it easy for me. Make it super simple for me to choose you. Like, I'm like begging them. And that's what she did. That's what the cleaning service did, was made it easy for people to choose her. Because now people are buying trust, relationship, transformation, meaning, purpose, impact. That's where people are buying at, because they have no other way to make a decision in a saturated market.
So this is... great answer. This is what purpose pioneers your business. This is what you do for other businesses and other leaders.
Correct. Correct. We help them harness purpose to speak in a way that inspires action, to market in a way that gets people to say yes, and we're no longer competing. We're just transforming. We help them with their business processes. So to help them all stay aligned, make meetings meaningful, make accountability inspiring. We don't call it managers. We call it empowerment coaches, right? We help them hire in a very aligned way. So they're always bringing in people who believe what they believe, who align with their values, and who they can truly serve, instead of always worrying about Am I serving their needs well? Are they actually aligned? What values drive them? And I think the main thing is it's a decision-making tool. When I am clear on my values and purpose, I can now hand that to anyone in my organization and they'll know exactly how to make a decision. It's no longer what would Thomas do. It's no longer what's the right thing to do. It's no longer what's the purpose pioneer's way. Now it's, I know it's all about empowering our, to further our purpose and align with our values. And now it creates a scalable culture, which creates scalable impact, which creates scalable profit.
So what's your vision for Purpose Pioneers? Like what do you really see it doing? What's your purpose there?
Hell yeah. So we want to create standard operating purpose procedures. We want to make purpose-driven business the norm because we believe that's what business actually is. So we want to get people back to the core of business, which is being purpose-driven, which is having values to create a community, right? So we want to make our standard, because we're creating a standard way, a standard set of procedures, a standard way of creating content, a standard way of hiring people, a standard way of everything. So we want that to be the norm accepted globally. Because we believe if we can create a world where everyone, when they're thinking about starting a business, they think they put purpose first and they make values always be at the forefront. And if we can make that the norm for every single business in the world, we can create abundant meaning, fulfillment, and sustainable growth for everyone. And that's what I want. I don't want the government entities helping. I don't want people giving with generosity. I want to create sustainable solutions where we're incentivized to do so. And I believe business is the vehicle for that. So I'm super hot on purpose-driven business, as you can tell.
So give me an example of a purpose-driven business that you really look up to.
Oh my gosh.
Patagonia. Not including your own. You can't use your
Patagonia.
Own.
Patagonia. Oh, that's fine. Yeah, Patagonia. In a lot of our trainings in our program, I keep using Patagonia because I love them so much. And it's interesting because I don't align with everything they do, but I align with their purpose and values. So Patagonia believes in a sustainable world, an environmentally sustainable world. I do too. I love trees and mountains and animals and water and creeks. And I believe that we're all better off if we can be mindful of our environment and use renewable resource or renewable energy and be mindful of our habitat and how we treat it. So they are a jacket company, right? They sell jackets. That's what Patagonia does, mainly in cold areas, unlike where we're currently dwelling. And they realized that the founder, he said, I want to create this amazing impact on the world. How can I best do that? He's like, oh my God, business, because the more I sell something, the more money I can make. And the more money I can make, the more impact I can create. And also he said, the more I create a brand, the more I can create awareness in the marketplace for my cause. And he also said, oh my God, if I compete using this purpose, then I'm going to stand out from every other jacket company that exists. And that's the key. So people, yes, jackets are a need. Yes, it's a saturated market. Now people are saying, what jacket do I buy? And now people are asking, what are the values of the organization? What is the purpose of the organization? I want to trust it. I want to believe in it. I want to know when I buy it that something good is happening. And it's because of the higher consciousness of our collective society, but it's also because people are running out of ways to make decisions. So what they do is, I mean, they sell jackets, but every single time you buy a jacket from them, they give back to an environmentally sustainable cause. They also invite their employees and customers on adventures in nature to be empowered through gaining experiential learning of the environment so they can become conservationists back locally, right? So they're creating impact in multiple ways, and they're inviting in their customers and their employees. And that's amazing. And they're using business as that vehicle. And the beauty is business is what creates wealth. Business is what creates sustainability. So if we can work in purpose, positive impact, right? We can work in meaningful community. We can work in values. We can create sustainable solutions for all of this. And that's what Patagonia is doing. And to top it off, the cherry on top is I live in Florida, so I don't need a Patagonia jacket. But you're damn right, I bought their sticker and put it on my laptop. So even though they're a jacket company, I'm now buying something else. And that's the beauty. When we compete on purpose, people are connected to us at the core, our brand at the core, and they don't just buy our product. They buy anything we create. Think about that. That's why Apple, we buy the iPod, we buy the iPad, we buy the iPhone, we're going to buy the iTruck, we're going to buy everything. Because before Steve Jobs died, Apple had an identity. It was, we believe in challenging the status quo. We believe in thinking differently, right? We believe that technology is about human creation and extending human capacity. It's not just about how fast it is or how the hardware, right? So people believe in that. They believe in that why. So now they'll buy anything Apple creates instead of just saying, well, you're a computer company. Why would I buy that? So yeah, that's where I'm at.
So for people who are listening in, you know, I love the fact that you're so driven on purpose and values, you know, the boundaries of values. What if there's someone in the audience who's listening in and they're kind of having a hard time, like kind of finding their purpose, or they're in a job or doing something that they just feel stuck, or like, how do you go about discovering what your purpose is?
Beautiful. Love that question. The one thing that person listening right now can do is reflect on their past experiences. So remember I said action orientation can allow us to reflect on our own truth. So I would say, think back in your life. Was there one or two or three moments where you felt alive, you felt aligned, you felt incredible, you felt like anything was possible? You felt a feeling of meaning and value and fulfillment in your life, right? And it was that moment, were you serving someone else? And think about, in what way were you serving them? What were you unlocking for that person? How were you helping them be a better version of themselves? What need were you solving? And once you get clear on that, now you know the way that you can add value in the world in the way that also makes you feel happy and excited, right? So when you get clear on that, then you can start thinking about, are there other people in the world who are having the same pains I was solving in that moment? And then immediately you can go talk to those people and ask them what their pains are, what their goals are, and you can get clear on how you can solve those pains and help them reach those goals. And then you have a business, right? I mean, that's the key. So it's a reflection experience that then comes back into the present. It's reflecting on what is so you can create what could be.
Okay. So you help business leaders discover their purpose and their passion, not only in their business, but also in their lives. Now, let's run through a scenario. A business leader comes to you, and they are, let's use an example. Cause you gave a few great examples, a lawn mowing service.
Beautiful.
All right. So guy who owns a lawn mowing service, it's growing, guy or gal, doesn't matter. Cool. Comes to you and they say, you know, like, man, I'm just, every day that grass grows, we cut it. And, you know, it feels like a never ending, you know, thing, especially here in Florida where it's always raining and then grass is growing. So like, you know, and they just feel maybe stuck. Like, what do you do for a person like this?
Or business what's their hypothetical pain?
Maybe they feel like it's their job. Maybe they're not proud of what they do, or maybe they just feel like it's meaningless.
So they're looking to find meaning in their work.
Yeah. Let's use that as an example.
Okay. I would ask them to think about who they serve and get clear on those people and really humanize them. I think too often we dehumanize things, especially in business. We turn people into numbers. We turn transformational services into products and all that. So first of all, I'd say, who's your customer? Who are they? Like, what do they believe in? What do they struggle with? What's their family life like? Let's talk about who you're actually helping. And then I would probably say something like, where are they hurting? Like, why do they need you? Why don't they just cut the grass themselves? So we begin to bring, the problem is a lot of this dips into our subconscious and then goes away. We forget why what we do matters. So let's help them understand the transformation they're making for their customers. So like, where are they hurting? What are they not able to do if they didn't have you? What would they not be able to do? And the more we can see the transformation that occurs because we're mowing their lawn, the more meaning we can create. And then I would say something like, well, what do you enjoy about cutting lawns? And if the answer is literally nothing, I hate it, I would say, how could you serve these people in another way where you actually love doing what you're doing? And maybe it's in another role in the lawn mowing service, or maybe it's creating a whole nother company and serving one of their other pains. So that's the question too, is making sure that they're in alignment with doing what they love. And then I would say, what about the people you work with? How do you feel about them? What's that relationship like, right? It's all about cultivating awareness at first, and then we create alignment, right? So they begin to say, you know, I don't know. I don't really like anyone in my lawn mowing service. I really don't like the employees I hired. Okay, well, what type of people do you want to surround yourself with? What do they value? What do you value? And now we're getting clear on what type of people they want to be around. I can help them. We give them our hiring process, and they can begin to hire people who believe what they believe and align with their values. And then they will begin to actually enjoy the people they work with, if that's a problem, right? So then we can get clear and say, hey, look, wow, you're not just cutting lawns. Like it's similar to the cleaning service experience. You're empowering people to focus on loving their kids on the weekends and taking them to baseball games. Like, that's what you do. I help parents coach their kids' baseball games. And instead of saying, I mow lawns, imagine if someone said that. Imagine if they said that everywhere they went, how that would create a trust and connection with the potential client. And it would make them choose them, even though it might be more expensive, even though it might be less convenient. They would choose them because of that alignment. And we're moving into an era where we're moving to self-actualization, right? So people are saying, I'm not just going to get the most functional thing because there's a million of those things. I'm going to get the one that helps me self-actualize the most. That's probably what I would say.
I think that'd be really helpful to them. You know, like something that you mentioned in this example, and then also in the cleaning, is this, yes, I clean your house or I mow your lawn, but I do this so you don't have to. So you could focus on things that you maybe love better, or maybe things that are more important to you.
Transformational.
That's, you can't compete on that, right? I mean, you stand aside when you say those kind of things. Wow. I mean, that's really interesting, because sometimes we look at these things and we go, this is meaningless. You know, like I wash windows, or I do this, or I do that, you know, or I have a podcast show, or I whatever the example is. If you get stuck in that routine, it could become meaningless. So you are helping bring meaning to the creators of the people who are doing so.
Correct, which helps the organization internally and helps them connect with others externally. And really, it helps us go from competing to transforming. And the thing about focusing on competing is we're at the will of our competition. We're at the will of what they choose to compete on, because we're saying, what are they good at? I'm going to be better at it. So we're in a box, right? And that's limiting, it's scarce. But when we stop competing and we start transforming, then all we care about is our experience with our customers. All we care about is how much better we can make their lives. And then we begin to beat our competition, because we're more focused. We're less focused on our competition, and we're more focused on our customer and how we can abundantly serve. And when we more focus on our customer, then we get more of them. We get customers that didn't even think they'd be customers, right? Instead of competing for a slice of a pie, we begin to create our own pie. And I think that is transformative, is when we see the world as abundance, like there's more than enough for everyone. And we stop focusing on taking our slice of the pie, and we start thinking about creating our own pie for ourselves and others. I think that is the game-changing change we can make.
Yeah. Earlier in our conversation here, Thomas, you mentioned aligned fear versus misaligned fear, and you asked me to remind you to bring it back up.
Thank you for doing that. I am so hot on that right now. Holy moly. So I've been thinking a lot about, it was because when I went on Fox 13 and I was a career expert and all of that, I was scared. I was terrified. I remember when the owner of the company asked me to do it, and he's like, it's time for you to do this. I'm giving up my spot on Fox. It's your moment. And I remember my stomach like dropped and twisted, and I had this lump, right? I was just like, oh, but you know, I immediately within 10 seconds said yes. And there's a reason, because I think in life, people think fear is all one thing. And I think what fear is, it's something that allows us to be aware and check in with ourselves and say, what direction do we want to go in? So I believe there are aligned fears and misaligned fears. So aligned fears are things that scare us, but they help us further our purpose and align with our values, right? So there's a reason why I decided to start my own podcast. There's a reason why I started going on podcasts. There's a reason why I did that TEDx event. All of these things were once really scary to me, before I went on stage for the TEDx event, my heart was pounding and I was like freaking out, right? And I knew I had to do it. I knew I leaned into my aligned fear because I knew it was taking me in the direction I wanted to go in. I knew it was going to help me become the person I want to be. That's the thing. Is getting through this fear, is it going to help me do what I want to do and be who I want to be and create the impact I want to create? If the answer is yes, do it. If the answer is no, run for the hills, because it's useless. It's not serving. And I think too often there isn't a distinction created. So people are grouping all this up. Like, well, I just do none of my fears, or do I do all of my fears? And I say, no, there's aligned and misaligned fears. A misaligned fear would be like, hey, I fear death, so I'm not going to do drugs, right? It's like, cool. Well, is doing drugs going to further your purpose? I mean, that's a conversation for another podcast. Maybe so, but I would say for me, no. And so I'm not going to pursue that venture, right? I mean, currently, my current truth is not pursuing that venture. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like how you say my current truth is. Why do you say that? Or did you get stuck in a conversation one time where now you go, all right, here's my current truth?
I think I've had, through conversation is where I learn a lot. I learn a lot about myself and others, and I learn a lot about the world around me. Like, I'm learning a lot in this conversation. And I think the reason I say current truth is because I've realized through a specific conversation, I realized that my truth is limited to my experiences, my worldview of what I've been through up until this moment. Everything up until this present moment depicts my truth, right? And that is my current present truth. I could say my present truth. But what I've known is throughout my life, my truth has changed. I've learned new things. I've realized new perspectives. I've gained more empathy. I've learned things that have tilted and pivoted my truth, my beliefs, what I think is true about myself and others, right? So I would never want to limit myself in the future of changing that. And I think what makes people get triggered and get defensive and all that is they have tied their identity to unshakable truths, and it scares the crap out of people when those things get challenged. So what I do is I free myself of that. I'm liberated, and I choose to exist and accept my current truth while always remaining open to new truth.
I think it's pretty wise. So so you mentioned you guys have a podcast yourself. And
yes,
you went. You also had a TEDx event that I went to, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, man, it was awesome to see you in the action. I mean, you were naturally at a high frequency up on that stage. Like, you gave off energy and life, and it was pretty exciting, man.
Thanks.
So, why don't you do a little drop of your podcast? Talk to us a little bit about your podcast here.
I'd love to. Appreciate the old plug, Aruski. It's the Purpose Driven Leader podcast. So it's for that individual who wants to challenge the status quo, who wants to use business as a force for good, who wants to live a purposeful, values-based life, create meaning and fulfillment in their own life, and create a positive impact on the world. It's for that person, that action-oriented human who balances the beautiful both and of, you know, contemplation and deep thought, but also kicking ass and taking names, right? And that is the home for people like that. And we have Alex and I, she's my co-founder, Alex Agresta, inspiring, amazing woman. We have deep conversations about topics around this subject, around purpose, around business, around life. And we learn a lot through conversation every single time. So it's a similar experience like this, where we talk and we learn and we have new profound aha moments and we cry and laugh, and it's amazing. It's transformative. I actually just sat in a room by myself in a rabbit hole for like 13 hours. I edited 13 episodes of the dang thing. So you better listen to it, because that worked damn hard. That's the Purpose Driven Leader podcast. It's something I really believe in, because I believe that we all have our own unique channel where we can be most effective and really share our gifts with the world, right? So for you, Josh, it's probably podcasting. It's probably something where you thrive in natural conversation. For me, it's the same thing. I've realized that in Alex and I's conversations, that's usually where the magic shakes out. And then we're always having to forcefully convert it into other things like YouTube videos. So what's cool about this platform is it allows us to really share our gift with others and empower them to do the same. So we're really hot on that. The other thing is TEDx Orlando, which is just the most aligned organization ever. because they believe in creating a platform for people to share ideas that are worth spreading. And that's, I think that's a huge part of life. Like the concept of free speech, the ability to express myself and be heard, is the key to keeping the balance of the forces of the world. So on TED stages, people typically suspend their beliefs, open up to something new, and try it on without getting defensive, without worrying. They finally, we live together. And this is what I was feeling on the stage the other day. We live together in a present moment where anything is possible. And that's what TEDx is about. That's what TED's about, and TEDx Orlando especially. So we have 3 salon events a year. We have 1 big event that's coming up. I can't officially announce it yet because we got to lock in some details, but it's going to be really unique as always. And that's where I'm at. And then the last thing I would say is, if you are a purpose-driven leader, if you're a solopreneur or a small business leader who wants to use business as a force for good, challenge your own status quo and the world status quo, then join our Facebook group, the Scale Your Purpose Action Takers. And those are my plugs.
That sounds good. And you'll provide me those links, so I'll put them in the show notes below.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
People who are listening in on the show, if you go to the show notes, you'll learn more a little bit about Thomas. He'll have his bio in there, a little bit about his company, and some links where you could connect with him directly, join his Facebook group, listen into his podcast, and then maybe attend one of those TEDx events. And you know, I'll be there, and we could chat as well. So Thomas, let me ask you a question. The show is Orlando Entrepreneurs, right? And you're here in Orlando. Let me ask you a question. Why Orlando?
Great question. Okay. So when I was considering what college to go to, it was between UCF and FSU. And I pretty much was dead set on FSU because it was the coolest and the best. And I don't know, I had some conception in my head of that truth. And then I went to UCF and visited, and it was new. And I felt a sense of potential. I felt like I could really create something. And I ended up saying, no FSU, even though I paid my security deposit, I'm out. I'm going to UCF. And it was because I had this dichotomy of, do I want to be a part of something that already is? Do I want to fit in with tradition? Or do I want to create what could be? And I tend to lean to the latter. So at UCF, I felt like anything was possible. So mainly because it was a newer campus, less tradition, I could create tradition, which is exciting to me. I have I lean towards creation as opposed to keeping things status quo, although I honor the heck out of current hierarchies and status quo. I honor the heck out of it. So the same with Orlando. I see Orlando as having all the pieces. We have everything. We have the people. We have the technology. We have the culture that just needs to be realized. We have all the different industries. We have space. We have entertainment, Disney. I mean, the vision of Walt Disney, I want to bring that crap back to life. So I believe we have all the pieces. We just need the right leaders to empower and awaken our potential. So Orlando to me is, it's not too late to create tradition. It's not too late to create what could be. And in some cities it already is, you know, the New Yorks and the San Frans and all of that. So here there's abundant opportunity, but also abundant potential to create, to influence what direction we go in. And that gets me excited.
I like it. So if people want to find you and connect with you, where could they go? Give us a quick space where people could go to find you.
The best thing to do is add me on Facebook and tell me in a message why you did it. I want to connect with you there. That's where I hang out. Messenger is where I communicate, and I love hearing intention. So tell me what drove you to be inspired to take this action. So that's the main thing. And then the other thing is my Instagram, the one I'm building up right now, is I think it's at The Purpose Driven Leader or just Purpose Driven Leader. I'm not sure, but yeah, those are the two.
Okay. And we'll include those links as well. So there'll be an army of links in the show notes here, guys, so you can connect with Thomas. So, hey, Thomas, thanks for coming on the show, sharing your purpose, your passion, your story. You know, I really, really enjoyed hearing it, and hopefully it inspires our audience here in Orlando and maybe even elsewhere.
Yeah, I hope so. I can't predict that impact, but I'm hoping for it. And also, Josh, I want to thank you for providing this platform, for listening, for asking intentional, meaningful questions, and bringing this out of people. And I know you've done this with a lot of other people, and I think it's so needed This is so needed. Platforms where questions are asked and meaningful answers are shared. This matters a lot, probably maybe more than you know, or maybe you already know, but I just want to commend you. And I am going to continue to champion this podcast.
I received that. I learned that from my friend Thomas. All right, guys. Hey, so people listening in, thanks for listening into the Orlando Entrepreneur Show. Man, I really appreciate you guys being a part of this community and that we could lift up Orlando as a place to build and grow businesses of purpose and you know, create a future for ourselves here. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening into the show. You know, subscribe and make sure you stay in touch with the things that we're doing. And if you have any questions or thoughts or even someone that you'd think would be a great fit for this show, you know, shoot me a message. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you guys. And until the next episode, guys, we'll talk with you soon. Keep on building some incredible things. Goodbye, everyone. See you, Thomas.
See ya.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.